following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. I'm DJ Moco, and this is Creasing Corners. Grab a drink, get cozy, and get ready to read between the lines. Welcome back. This is episode 2, and today we're going to be talking about Legends and Lattes by Travis Baldry. This is a very new book, and I think a lot of people will like it, depending on what genre you like of books. And if you like fantasy, this might be it for you. Let's talk about it in general. Let's talk about what it's about. And this, I'm going to try to keep it spoil-free, but I don't know if I'll be able to obtain that. So this book, Legends and Lattes, was released in 2022, about 3 years ago, published. And Travis Baldry has made 2 other books that are very similar to this. I have not read them yet, but I want to. They're called Bookshops and Bone Dust and Brigands and Bread Knives. But they are very similar in titles. I think he has this theme where he does blank and blank, and it's typically something where it's a craft or it's a hobby or it's a kind of business or something. And the other part is about being some kind of Dungeons and Dragons character. Let's go through with the main characters. There's Viv, who's an orc. She's ex-mercenary, so she did a lot of work in the violent world. But we don't see a whole lot of that. It's in the very beginning, and it's great imagery in the beginning. But we don't return to that. When she decides to take something from her last mission that was, it's going to help her build the rest of this story. It's a Skelvert stone. And it's placed under her future coffee shop. This is supposed to attract good fortune. And she doesn't know how to interpret that, but she does it anyway. So she opens a coffee shop. And Cal, this is another character, is a hob carpenter. And he helps build the actual coffee shop. She hires him because she sees him building his own stuff for boats. He's a carpenter. He's nice. He's very to himself. He's reserved. He's a reserved man, but he's really kind to her. Tondri is a succubus. She kind of just shows up, but she's really nice. And she ends up being management and does the artwork for their menu. So that's something that Viv has gotten help with and has now kind of sort of created this family with her coffee shop. And it's just starting up, so they're not getting a whole lot of customers. And they're just selling coffee, and they've done a variation with milk, which is a latte, and you can have an iced and stuff. So they do a lot of changes to their menu repeatedly. So their menu keeps getting changed throughout the book, but it's additions. It's not taking away or anything. And I think that is one of the best parts as a reader, to see that growth and see how many things are getting put into the menu in these really cute ways. After Tondri, there's Thimble, which is a ratkin baker, and he's just a huge rat, and he hardly speaks. He kind of mumbles and says one or two words each time he does speak, but he's sweet. Thimble makes all the pastries. So he makes the cinnamon rolls, he makes thimblets, which in the book is described as crunchy nut and fruit delicacies. And then they have Midnight Crescents, which are buttery fold-over with a sinful center, is what they described it in the book. Then there's Pendry, who's a very shy bard. He has his own instrument. He came into play and was bad at first. But he comes consistently now, and he plays for the cafe, the coffee shop. And then there's Amity, who's a large dire cat, who's very protective of the shop. And it's not explicitly said why, but I think it has to do with the stone that's in the ground. So yes, we have a good list of characters, a very chill group with their own hobbies and their own skills that I absolutely love in novels. When people are separate, they're different, but they come together and they can appreciate one another and appreciate one another's skills. You might be asking, what is the conflict of this beautiful coffee shop story? Well, there's the former friend of Viv, named Fenice, not really a friend, just someone like a coworker when she was a mercenary. Fenice is an elf, and they're supposed to be a certain way in Dungeons and Dragons, and I haven't played, so I'm not entirely sure what they're supposed to represent or what they're meant to do, but he's a villain. Then there's the Madrigal, which is, you know, the big dogs in the town, and you need to pay them in order to live there, or have, if you're gaining money from the town, then you have to pay the Madrigal. And the Madrigal warns her about Fenice, because he's evil, and Madrigal does not like evil. They're very reasonable. Fenice does burn the shop down, and it's a very tragic moment in the book, to the point where I didn't know if it was going to continue. Viv was so distraught that I thought this was going to be a bad ending. But Madrigal provides support, and everyone comes together to start building. I like the story. I like the pace it's at, because we constantly see some growth. There are new characters getting added. When it was just Viv and Cal, and I guess her neighbor across the way, it seemed so small, but it seemed like there was so much progress. And I wondered throughout the whole way what characters were going to come in, what characters were going to add to this coffee shop that was already looking pretty good. When they build that coffee shop back up, it's better than before. The writing in this book was great. It did give me a vibe of Dungeons and Dragons, and I do think the vibe of this book is also fall-ish. So that's kind of why I'm covering it on the podcast for the fall. But it's also so excellent in the way that it's describing the feel of a coffee shop in a fantastical world. I am most drawn by imagery. I don't think I look into literature in depth as much as I'd like to, just because I value imagery a lot more. The way people say their words, the syntax that the author decides to do, it really matters to me, because it makes the book better. It makes the book actually feel like something and not something hefty. If there was metaphors and motifs just all over the book and hardly any imagery, it would be a dense read for me. If they only cared about writing in a very complex way, I would not enjoy the book. There are a lot of people who want to become authors and poets, and when you read a lot of these poets who have not taken the time to actually appreciate the craft, you will see why people struggle to write something good. And it's because they're lacking a lot of figurative language. This book does not lack figurative language at all. It's actually great in what it does. I'll give you a couple passages where the imagery I felt was amazing. There are obviously a lot others. If you read the book, you will see, you will feel and smell, you will want to be there. On page 123, it starts at the very bottom. I'm going to read this passage out. The ratkin set to measuring and stirring and produced a thick, gluttonous dough, to which he added chopped walnuts and currants. He then grated the skin of the oranges over the bowl. The cardamom, it turned out, were small, wizened-looking seeds. He diced them incredibly fine, crushed them with the flat of his knife blade, delicately scraped some of the dust into the dough, and set the remainder aside in a twist of waxed paper. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that just a mixture of words you'd love to hear? Imagining this process of making whatever he's making, which they don't know by then. I love things like that. I love when there's cooking and you can actually smell and see. It kind of just, it inspires me. It inspires me a lot to do this kind of writing. I'll read another excerpt that I have here, and it's actually the beginning of the book. It's chapter 1. This is the first paragraph of this book. Viv stood in the morning chill, looking down into the broad valley below. The city of Thune bristled up from a bed of fog that hazed the banks of the river, bisecting it. Here and there, a copper-clad steeple flashed in the sun. Travis Baldry does have a way with words, I'm going to say that. He knows how to make a book sound beautiful, and how to make it still sound like Dungeons and Dragons somehow. It's nice. I like the use of fantasy in this, and real fantasy, which is honestly an oxymoron, but real fantasy meaning Dungeons and Dragons. I love the way he does that. Some aspects of Dungeons and Dragons in here is the races. Viv is an orc, Tandri's a succubus. These are things that we can find in Dungeons and Dragons, and I haven't played, but I want to play because it sounds like it would make a lot of stories out of it. I can tell Travis Baldry probably played a lot, and that's a lot of inspiration too. Dungeons and Dragons is a great catalyst for fantasy writing. And to be a dungeon master, I'm sure you have to do a lot of world building and a lot of creator building. That itself is writing. What's also interesting about this book is that it's low stakes. And there's a lot of diversity in it. What I mean by that is, you know, the Dungeons and Dragons races, but also backgrounds. Viv comes from a mercenary background, and it's not seen as terrible. She could just open a shop and she doesn't feel much guilt about it. And there's just this wild combination of people that come and join her. Like, there's no separation. Like, there's no racism in a way. It really takes you out of the world that you're in right now. Not only that, but it also keeps you warm. This story is a warm story. It's a low stakes. There's very little action. It's not a whole lot of fighting. It's a lot of maybe some arguing and some bickering. And I mean, obviously the shop burning down was a really high, intense moment. But the book has a lot of calming features. It's a great read for the fall or winter. Probably more winter. And it's a sort of love story between Viv and Tandri. You can see this friendship grow into a relationship of love and care and support. They love each other, you can tell, and they would do anything for one another. And by the end of the story, you can really see that. And this is also a story about finding the right people. Finding the right people that will support you and do this dream with you. That's also their dream. We can see that a lot of this is mutual. Mutual growth. Tandri gets to work and do her art the way that she wanted to. Then Viv gets her coffee shop. Cal gets to build. Thimble finally gets a big kitchen that he can sell his goods and share his goods. Pendry gets to practice his music. A lot of people win in this story. But it's also about making tough decisions. With the Madrigal, Fenris, Viv wants to protect her friends. But it's really hard when there's challenges coming your way and not everyone agrees with you. Let's talk about the ending. It's a happy ending. I kind of just want to go through the overall, just because I don't want to spoil the ending. It's not that there's something I'm hiding. I just want you to experience the ending and the relief that you get to feel. It's also not a distinct ending either. It's just things are good. Overall, I love the novel. I would reread this. When I first heard about this book, it was in my fantasy and science fiction class. And I read the prologue, it was assigned to us, and I thought of it as a cringe book. The title was Legends and Lattes, what? That made me think it was a fantasy slop, but it wasn't. When I read it, I was like, I actually really like this because the writing is just so nice. It was so nice, it was easy to get into, it's not a complicated read at all. I'm not sure if Travis Baldry could have done anything better. I really liked it. I don't think I have many critiques on it, just because it's a soft fantasy and you can easily get into it. It's an easy read. However, the cover art is something that will drive people away. The cover art is of Viv and Tandri in the cafe back to back, and they have the pastries. Viv is drawn as an orc with long hair, and Tandri has short hair. And she has a tail that sort of touches Viv. The art is nice to me now, but initially when I saw it, I was like, oh no, that's not something I would enjoy. Don't judge this book by its cover. I would highly recommend this as well, so I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I am just giving it a 9 out of 10 because of the cover art, which so it would boost it up to a 10 out of 10 without the cover art, but I guess as a story, it would be a 10 out of 10. Thank you for listening to my review of Legends and Lattes. You'll hear from me from the next episode. Thank you for listening to episode 2.